Welcome back to the Lem Podcast. My name is Aaron Alexander, and this is a place that we bring together the world's leading experts in all things health and wellness to help you optimize your mind, body, and movement. Today's conversation is with one of my old friends, Jim Quick. Jim is one of the world's foremost experts on all things related to learning and cognitive function. He's worked with some of the biggest celebrities on the planet. He has a mega best-selling author with his book, Limitless. He has an expanded version out now. We get into that in this conversation. This conversation is a masterclass on how to improve the function and structure of your brain, the way that you perceive and process information. Jim's a master. He is just a wealth of knowledge and information. If you have any interest in improving cognitive function, the way that you learn, ways to improve your memorization, nutrition for cognitive function / whole body function, this episode is for you if you're interested in any of that. Thank you so much for subscribing so you get each week's episodes. Thank you for sharing this with your friends. Thank you so much for leaving us reviews. And thanks for tagging myself at Aaron Alexander on the Instagram and Jim Quick at Jim Quick if there's any parts of this episode that stand out to you. Let's get to it with my guy, Jim Quick. Jim Quick, what does it mean to live a good life, Jim Quick, to you?
Good life.
Yeah, what is a good life? Is it success? Is it accomplishment? Is it relationship? Is it love? Is it a physique? An Adonis-like physique? Is it a big dong?
I would say I want to make two people proud. I want to make a good life would be, I want to make the 9-year-old version of myself proud. The one that was struggling and had his head injury and bullied and called broken by a lot of people. And I also want to make the 99-year-old version of me pretty proud too. You know, I mean, I'm happiest when I get to love, to laugh, to learn, leave something behind, some kind of legacy.
What does it mean to make the 9-year-old version of yourself proud? What does that look like?
I mean, I think we're best suited to help the person that we once were. And when I was 9 years old, I had a lot of doubt. And this wasn't just nine. This was 9 to 19. a lot of fears, a lot of insecurities, a lot of learning difficulties. So yeah, I want to make, if I could go hug that kid and just let him know it's going to be okay. That he's going through what he's going through for a reason. And that would make me happy. And that's beautiful. And for me now, it's just being what I needed to other people. That's a very good life.
What does it mean to make the 99-year-old self proud?
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, towards that cycle, let's see, I turned 50 this year. So halfway there. I mean, I don't even know where the world's going to be 50 years from now, but, I would want that person to look back, the person that I'm going to be, look back saying that, that I did the right things for the, more importantly than for the right reasons. And I showed up for myself and I showed up for others. But I left it all on the field, you know, in the arena. It drives me, buddy. You know, I've been doing what I've been doing for 32 years. This is what I'm here to do. I want to build better, brighter brains. No brain left behind. Help people to redraw the borders and boundaries about what's possible for themselves. I believe as we go on that there's a version of ourselves that's patiently waiting somewhere in the future. And I feel like the goal is we show up for ourselves and others until we get to be introduced to that person. We get to meet that person. So, yeah, I'm excited to have known you for as long as we've known each other. This is a different kind of podcast. We've done a lot of our own podcasts, quite a few hundred of them, and been on a lot of ones. But yeah, it's from how we started off camera with intentions and breathing, and just these conversations are very raw, different. Because normally I could just kind of go into my, I could roll out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and do this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Something that I really appreciate you, being here and acknowledging that and allowing yourself to kind of go a few layers deeper. It's something I really find
great. Well, I mean, I love your evolution. And just to watch so many, there are a lot of people, not just people in general. Sometimes, you know, we're the same over time, but, yeah, very, 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 very thoughtful. Love, like your level of acumen. I always respect genius in all different forms. It's the nature of my work, but also the depth and the presence that you have. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure a lot of people listening could comment on this also as well.
That's
really kind. That's why I enjoy even tuning into your show, because your voice and something about the space that you hold for people is, it feels like home.
Wow. Thanks, man. I was not anticipating that. I really appreciate that reflection. So I would like to go in a direction of in relation to the brain and brain training and memory and things of the sort. But I think within that, you mentioned the word genius. And mm-hmm. I feel perhaps a part of the rampant incidence of ADHD and, you know, maybe feeling like, oh, I don't have a good memory, or feeling like I have brain fog or things of the sort, all these kind of like self-limiting beliefs and doubts and stories that we have. I wonder if a part of that could be a person just not tuned in to programming that actually engages their brain and engages their spirit and engages their mind. And it's like if we're operating on kind of like the wrong board, you know, we're not playing the game very well. I wonder if sometimes it's kind of like, I wonder if you do all the nootropics and all the AI and all the interventions, but if you're engaging in some life or lifestyle that's not actually tapping into that internal genius within oneself, I feel like it's going to be a long uphill battle. So is that something that you think about with these conversations around brain training and things of the like?
I believe
like,
that
like, a lot. Like getting into like purpose, you know, where's purpose come into the conversation of brain training?
All right, let's unpack this a little bit. Mm-hmm. when you talk about programming and lifestyle, so the context, so people learn the content. They say content is king or content is queen. Then I believe context is the kingdom. So content is king, that phrase that we hear a lot. And I think the context is the kingdom, and that could be our environment, both external and internal. Programming, when you say programming, you mean like the inputs that are...
Yeah, 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 the inputs. Say a child that's in a school system where they're kind of being certain... they're being imposed to engage in certain activities or studying styles or learning styles that actually doesn't apply to them in the first place. And they're trying to kind of fit this like square block into a circular hole type scenario. It's just going to keep on creating friction and frustration.
Yeah. I mean, the world has evolved a lot now, however people look at it, perceive it, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. School system hasn't changed a whole lot compared to the world. I mean, you think about churches starting universities, and it was a lot of it was based on rote repetition, where the teacher would repeat something, would say a fact, and then the students would repeat it. Rote mean like rotary, like a wheel. The first half is like the teacher chanting a fact, and then the students chanting it back, and that's a second half of the wheel, and it just goes around and around 50 times, and that was like learning. people still study that way. They repeat a name to themselves over and over again. They have a TEDx talk or, you know, a talk they have to give at work or at school. They just rehearse it over and over again. It's kind of mindless. It could get a job done, but certainly there's more elegant ways that we could do it, where it's not just rote memorization, but really understanding and using more of our faculties, meaning our imagination, our creativity, our emotional states, you know, more of it's bringing it to bear, and it just feels more whole, not even a whole brain, more, some feels like more whole self learning, you know, having gone through public education and put in special education, you know, after my traumatic brain injury. And my mom became a special education teacher to help me with my, she just recently retired after serving, like, you know, she just loves working with kids with, you know, with challenges. When we talk about purpose, for me, there's two kinds of purpose. There's purpose micro, like what's your purpose in studying this subject, or purpose in remembering someone's name or something like that. Then there's more of a macro, what's your life's purpose. And also people interchange it with passion, the word. And I always feel that it's how people use a different vocabulary. For me, passion is what lights us up. And we could have many passions, things that just bring us joy. It just makes us feel on fire in a good way. And then
those things, I presume, would be easier to learn.
Yeah, no doubt. If you're bringing the joy and the energy, the curiosity, the anticipation, the fascination, the interest, yeah, without a doubt. I think everyone would subscribe to that, as opposed to the opposite of something people dread or something that's mind dulling, boring.
Yeah,
probably not as much. So passion is what lights us up, and I think we're not stuck with just one passion. We could go and be explorer, give ourselves a lot of novelty and see where our mind goes and our hearts go, kind of where our spirits flow into those activities organically. So passion is what lights you up. For me, purpose is how you use your passion to light somebody else up, is one way of looking at it. So, and it's not right or wrong. For me, it's this useful kind of belief system to have, or not useful. For me, it has been, has a lot of utility. So like passion, I'm passionate about learning. I wasn't always, right? I had, you know, a decade and a half of challenges in this area. So it wasn't very fun for me. So not very the opposite of passion. But so if passion lights, if learning lights me up, then teaching people how to learn is how I light other people up. This is my purpose. So passion, like, I'm passionate about learning because it lights me up, and teaching people how to learn lights other people up. And that's where I found, discovered and developed more of my purpose. And I think also we're not regulated to have only one purpose either, you know, because I think we're just multidimensional and context dependent, but that's what keeps me going. Even when I'm just deprived of sleep, or, you know, just I'm nervous about going on stage because I dealt with some paralyzing phobia of public speaking because, you know, with my learning disabilities, I didn't really know the answer. So I didn't want the spotlight or the, you know, because I just was terrified.
Yeah.
But finding more of that purpose and being reinforced with stories of people that, you know, were empowered from something we created, then, it just reminds me. And now I do it, and it just flows. So I'm really, it's an interesting year for me. You know, I turned 50. We had our first child, birthing this new Limitless Expanded book. And so the world, even when people ask why we updated the book, I was like, well, the world has changed a lot the past few years. You know, AI, post-pandemic, you know, work has changed, education has, but also, you know, I feel like I've done a lot of internal changing also. So
I want to, so for a person that is more, and I want to get into the specifics around the Limitless book, the expanded version, but, and this is within that, how does a person make the jump, cross the gap between rote memorization to creative learning, more of like a creative learning style where you're actually like learning how to learn. How does a person bridge that gap within themselves to be more efficient learners and not just more efficient regurgitators?
So, yeah, this is a big question, really. Depending on people's outcome, learning for me has to be relevant, right? And one of the challenges in school is people, students, can't see the direct relationship between the content they're consuming and how they're going to apply it in any useful ways. What I would say is the school system really got shaped a lot in this kind of, they needed workers, right? And so it was just like an assembly line education mirrored the industrial age where it's one size fits all. People were grouped based on their, manufacturing date. and every single person was treated pretty much the same. And we know that people are fundamentally different when it comes to the human brain. People have different forms of intelligence. People used to think that this intelligence was fixed, like your shoe size, that if you take an IQ test when you're 8, that's also your potential when you're 88. They also valued certain intelligences and didn't even recognize the other ones as being as valuable. So Howard Gardner really changed the conversation. Out of Harvard, he created a framework called multiple intelligence theory that we're not regulated to just, think about standardized tests that you and I took in the States, like SATs. There's only two parts of the test. And this is like the test you take to determine what university you go to kind of job. It's like kind of an important part of the education system here is there's only two parts. There's reading and math, right? Reading, verbal, and mathematical. And there's so many different forms of intelligence, right? There's interpersonal intelligence, people who are great at connecting with others. There's also intrapersonal intelligence, those who have a self-awareness and understanding of the human psyche and condition. There's also kinesthetic intelligence, which I know you write about and been one of the leaders in the space. The incredible athletes, the martial artists, the dancers, people who just have that kinesthetic expression and control and development, musical intelligence. Visual spatial intelligence, the great artists and graphic artists and architects, right? And so they take different forms. What I'm excited about in this new book, just like there's personalized medicine based on your genetics and personalized nutrition based on, let's say, your microgut biome, people take, assessments for that. We created an assessment for personalized learning because I believe after 3 decades of doing this, working with people of all ages and stages consistently and just always being because you work with clients. We were talking about this before we started recording. And there are a lot of people who profess things or do research of things in a tower that don't necessarily easily apply in the real world. So I feel like you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on. Sometimes, like, for example, and this is not a criticism, like a doctor would stop practicing and they'll just write like 30 books, but they've never seen, they haven't seen a patient in real time for a while. And that's a choice. For me, I wanted to be very pragmatic and practical and also make it fun and entertaining for the world that we're in today. So going back to this, a personalized learning journey, I recognize after a few decades of doing that, it's not how smart you are. It's how are you smart? See, most people ask the question, how smart my kids are, how smart my team is. But I think the proper question is, how are they smart or how are you smart? And, I created this model and I call them brain animals. These are cognitive types. It affects the way we think. It affects the way we learn, affects the way we lead. We hire, we parent, we sell, we invest. And because everything comes from our mind. And I realized that there are 4 main buckets. And I pulled on the sciences and psychologies, things like inspiration for this model, which I'll give you in a moment, is things like personality types, like Myers-Briggs, right? Left brain, right brain dominance theory, learning styles, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, introvert, extrovert, multiple intelligence theory, as I mentioned before, from Howard Gardner. And people fall in these four categories. And so I call it the brain code because I make everything an acronym, C-O-D-E. And I feel like this will be a big takeaway from this conversation with everybody, because the new book is all about momentum, right? People with the original book, it helped people master their mindset, their motivation, and the accelerated learning methods, speed reading, memory, all that. So the new book is all that and more, really focused on the fourth M, which is momentum. How do you create momentum in the new year? We have this kind of escape velocity. And one of those things is understanding who you are. Even if you, whether you think this is all a simulation or not, if you've seen The Matrix, when Neo first meets the Oracle in her kitchen, the sign above the door, you know, said, know thyself. And I think self-awareness is a superpower, that for people to be fulfilled, they need to have the curiosity to know yourself and also the courage to be yourself, which is a totally different game. Like the curiosity to know yourself, you take assessments, you go to therapy, you do plant medicine, you journal, you meditate, what all that, right, to get to know who you are. And then the other side of it is just being that person, because the life, I believe the life we live are lessons we teach, right? But it takes courage to escape other people's orbit of expectations or opinions about us, right? And it could severely limit us. Like when I was labeled broken, you know, by one of my teachers in front of all the students in the classroom, that label became my limit. And it created these confines that didn't exist before, but then it became my explanatory schema. Every single time I did badly on a test, which was all the time, I would say, oh, because I have the broken brain. Every time I wasn't picked for sports and I was the last one kind of standing, you know, left, it's like, oh, because I'm the broken brain, right? So going back to this, I realized that it's not how smart you are, it's how you're smart. And brain code, C-O-D-E, these are the animals. It's kind of like if you ever taken a quiz, like what, I don't know, Game of Thrones character are you, or Harry Potter school you're in, that kind of thing. So the C is the cheetah. And a cheetah is, their defining characteristic is they act, right? They have strong intuition. They thrive in fast-paced environments and they adapt very quickly. That's right. They learn and they want to put it into play, right? They have an idea, automatically implementation. The O in code are your owls, and your owls, their defining characteristic is logic. They love research. They're very studious, facts, figures, formulas, right? So that's their criteria. And even if I just by saying these two animals communicate different. They operate different in work, right? They would invest differently. The D in code are your dolphins, and your dolphins are your creative visionaries. They're defined by their imagination, their creativity. They have great pattern recognition, wonderful problem solvers. Sometimes they can see a vision for themselves or the world that other people can't yet see. And I give you famous people, you know, as an example for each of these and career paths that they would choose, but we apply it towards like their reading and their learning. And finally, the E in code are your elephants, and your elephants are defined by empathy, high levels of empathy, high EQ. They love collaboration. They love tribes. They're very loyal and they bring teams together. Very compassionate also as well. So when you think about these four animals, like let's give everyone some kind of like pop culture representations. If you take Friends, right? The TV show Friends. You watch any TV, buddy?
Kind of.
You know what Friends is, but you know what Friends
Yeah, no,
is,
I've seen right? Friends. Yeah.
All right. I'm so like Ross would be the owl, right? Professor, scientist, he reads a lot, you know, all the research. You would take somebody like, let's say Joey would be a cheetah. Just acts, doesn't really have to think about it, goes on intuition and kind of adapts to a situation. You'd say Phoebe would be the dolphin, the creative dolphin, right? She expresses herself in song and dance and movement. And let's say Monica would be an elephant. Monica always wants to host, bring everybody together. And so that would be an example, but you could take things like James Bond, right? James Bond is a cheetah, fast acting out in the field, moving, adapting very quickly. M, who is his boss, head of MI6, extremely logical. So she would be an owl. M's right hand, Moneypenny, is the elephant, you know, bring everyone, the team, right, together. The dolphin would be Q, the one that invented everything.
And groups of friends or business relationships or things of the like, that would be something you'd probably be actually seeking out different of these brain archetypes to create a full system. And an issue with the scholastic system is it's kind of like prioritizing one specific type of learning when that actually isn't really a very efficient team at all. Like it's prioritizing the diversity that actually makes a real whole team, I would imagine.
Completely. We had our team, which is a few dozen people in different parts of the world, and they all took the assessment, and our customer experience team, 100%, they're elephants. And that makes sense that you would go where your strengths in your element, right? Yeah. Where it allows you to tap into your certain traits. And elephants are incredibly empathetic. They're community builders, right? They're extremely supportive. Our CFO is an owl, right? And looks, it's just data and numbers and stats and, you know, I guess we could have a financial officer that's a dolphin, but I don't think you want that person to be too creative, right?
Yeah. It's a cool thing to have that assessment within yourself. It's exactly what I wasn't intentionally suggesting in the beginning of kind of being a misfit toy, you know, and being like playing on the wrong board and being frustrated and starting to develop stories of how you're, you know, limited or stupid or whatever the things may be. It's like perhaps you're actually just really perfectly tuned in to something completely different dynamic. And so tapping into developing a deeper relationship with yourself and, you know, asking yourself those questions and applying like an archetypal model like that and seeing where that fits for you. And I'd imagine a person is probably could be a bit of a blend, like a hybrid, like a shapeshifter of sorts as well.
Without a doubt, because of neuroplasticity, we have the ability to learn how to be more rational and more logical, more creative expressions, because you don't have these traits, you do them, right? And there's a value system based around it also as well. But you're 100% right. We are not any, we usually have a dominant one, a primary and a secondary. Yeah. So the whole chapter explains all the science and the applications of your, you know, and it has the quiz in there and then gives you protocol based on it, how to approach your learning, your leading, your living day to day. We put it online too. So if people go to mybrainanimal.com, it's 20 questions, multiple choice, takes 4 minutes to go through. And then you get a map and then like that plays to your strengths with suggestions on how to use it while you read, remember, hire, communicate. And but just as we build this out, they even communicate different. Like a cheetah, think about speed. Cheetahs tend to get straight to the point. Their speech is, you know, concise, is focused, it's action-oriented words. They don't really beat around the bush. They're instinctive. They trust their gut feelings. They're very independent also as well. They problem solve, around challenges quickly. An owl will be more analytical. So it's going to take a little bit more time to get all those details. They communicate in a very logical sequence, presenting facts and figures and data. A dolphin would use words that are more expressive. You know, they would speak about the bigger picture. They would talk about future plans, innovative ideas. They would have enthusiasm and passion, excitement around possibilities. You know, elephants would be more inclusive. They would be validating other people's feelings and the perspectives of others. There would be patient listeners because they'll take time to listen to others. So they feel heard and they feel seen and valued.
I identify with the gorilla. The gorilla has the one of the largest bodies in the primate world with the smallest genitals. I feel like that ends up kind of augmenting.
Well, we can make a category.
Personality traits.
We should. I'll put that into the model and send. And
that's
see.
The expanded version.
Expanded. Beyond limitless.
What are things that a person ought to be doing to sort out their learning situation? Should we be exercising? Should we be moving? Should we be getting sunlight? Should we be sunning our buttholes? How important is sunning your butthole for expedited learning efficiency? Jim Quick.
No, this is not my wheelhouse. I haven't seen the research on this one, so can't speak intelligently like you and the other guys on this subject. But yeah, everybody wants to know what the magic pill is, but I don't think there's a pill, that there is a process. And finding something that works for you, that you'll do consistently and that you're willing to explore and not be so rigid. I think as we get more and more rigid, you know, it gets like that rigidity that comes with like when we die. But movement certainly is up there.
Break, sir.
What's that?
Rigidity tends to break.
Yeah. And you don't want to break. You want to bend, right? And, you know, we've loved having you on the podcast, on our podcast multiple times in talking about your work and movement, and which is probably the reason we have a brain. The primary reason we have a brain is to control our movement. Sure. And I see this every day with our son, who's 10 months old, and just watching him learn how to be able to crawl and to stand. And you could see his brain like being lit up. So there's a mind-body connection that we always hear about, but there's definitely a body-mind connection, that using our body in different ways definitely has an effect on our brain, which obviously is part of our body.
I want to take a moment and share one of the only supplements that I brought with me on my last trip. I was away for a month, and I brought a month supply of AG1. It's something that I took every single morning. I've been taking it every morning for the last couple of years. Something that I heard about originally through Andrew Huberman, and gave it a try, and I really dig it. The reason I like it is it is an all-in-one stop to get your vitamins, minerals, and also probiotics in the morning. So if you are lugging around a bunch of supplements like I have historically, this is a great way to lighten your load. It also tastes delicious. One of the things that I do is I put it in a blender with some ice, I blend it up, and it just tastes incredible. Sometimes I'll add a little electrolytes in there as well, and I feel great. My mind feels sharp afterwards, and it is an amazing asset to bring with you traveling. So if you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and also get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. All you gotta do is go to drinkag1.com/align. That's drinkag1.com/align. Hope you guys enjoy. What's up, guys? I want to take a minute and share something very exciting. If you're a person that experiences any type of knee pain, shoulder pain, or a limitation range of motion in your hips or ankles, we are, for the first time ever, and perhaps for the last time ever, doing a discount on the Align Method online program. It is for Black Friday, so it will be from the 23rd until the 26th, so Friday till Sunday, and we're doing 40% off of the program. The first week of the program goes through a full movement assessment, so you can establish where you're at with your movement baselines, and goes through fundamental self-care techniques, and then takes you through a sit-rise test. The guarantee from the program is to provide you the fundamentals on how to recover full functional range of motion of all the major joints in your body, as well as provide you with actionable tools on regulating your nervous system. This is the exact program that I wish that I had 20 years ago when I started training. It would have saved me an immense amount of time and also pain from injuries and muscular imbalances that I developed over the years. And it also gives you access to the forum of over 4,000 other Align Method online program members. So if you're interested in trying it out for yourself, the free week trial is at alignpodcast.com/AMP. And then if you use the code Align Friday, you'll receive 40% off of the program. This is ridiculous. We've never done any discount on this. We literally probably will never do it again. And the promo code will only work for 40% off during the weekend of Black Friday. So that is the 23rd until the 26th. After that, you'll still get a week trial. You still get a 2-week guarantee. So you can try the second week. If you don't absolutely love it, you get 100% money back guarantee. And I think you guys are going to get a ton of value from it. So jump over to alignpodcast.com/AMP to start the free trial. Use promo code Align Friday for 40% off. What type of movement is best for learning. Because I think that you see a lot of our perspectives are guided by the path of science, and science is guided by restricting variables and, you know, isolating circumstances into a way that can be mapped out, you know, and data can mm-hmm. be created. And so a lot of that ends up being like, oh, like, well, cardio is really great for cognitive function. And so we kind of lean on that because it's really easy to gather data on cardio. You know, you get somebody running, you can link them up with all the different electrodes, you can run it, like, you can really map that person's physiology because they're just on this hamster wheel. What about dance? What about yoga? What about saunas? What about cold plunges? What about weightlifting? Kind of movement? I know I included temperature regulation in there as well, but you could say expansion and contraction of, you know, blood vessels and all your parts would be movement as well. What kind of movement is the best for learning?
So, I mean, I would like to ask you this question also as well, which I love your take on it. I just want people moving. I think that people are just sitting behind screens all day, and that's a big challenge and problem where all the blood is kind of like pooling into like the lower extremities and away from our brain. I think it's so important every 30 minutes to get up, or an hour at most, and have a brain break. And what are you going to do? You're going to do three things. Your brain is not meant to go fast paced all the time. You need like little pit stops. So even a 5 or 10 minute brain break where they do three things, they hydrate, because just staying hydrated, I mean, if you're at 2% dehydration could affect your cognitive performance, and your amount of mental energy, staying hydrated. We had, on our podcast, Dr. Lisa Moscone. I don't know if you've had her on. She's a mm-hmm. neuroscientist and a nutritionist. She was saying that just staying hydrated could boost your reaction time and thinking speed upwards of 30%. Mm-hmm. So hydrate, obviously, during the brain break, also breathing, which you are a master at, which we did whole exercise right before we started recording, which I really needed because it's doing a lot of these, having a lot of these conversations. Yeah. And then also movement. You know, as your body moves, your brain grooves. And I love all the things that you mentioned. I like things that bring my mind into my body. So for the past few years, since the pandemic, been doing a lot of sparring, a lot of,
that's right.
Filipino stick fighting, doing these heaven sixes that challenge me. They're kind of asynchronous, and it forces me to think, because I can't just perform it right away because it's a certain counts. Thai boxing, boxing in general, doing a lot of that.
Have you ever seen dance, those? Yeah. Those? I work with a company called Blaze Pod. And they are these like neurological training devices where you like bop different pods and they light up in different colors and all of that. Have you ever explored any of that? Have you seen much like research or data around that? Do you have any perspectives on, because that's like specific neurologically based physical training. Sure. But the intention really is like brain training with that.
Yeah. And especially if you get, you know, obviously it's because it's incorporated with movement. You know, supporting. I've used it for a span of time in our old home. We had a nice setup for it, and I could see a boost in reaction time. Sure. Or I'll do something simple like take tennis balls and see how many times I could hit the wall over a certain period of time, and then I check, you know, do my non-dominant hand and go back and
and you can juggle all these against the ground as well, left right, cross them up, juggling.
Yeah, juggling is, there's a study that at Oxford University saying the act of learning how to juggle actually builds more white matter. You actually have a bigger brain. Mm-hmm. And something similar anyone could do. It doesn't have to be like flaming swords or anything fancy. Just like start with socks. I like socks, rolling up socks, because they don't roll like balls. And so like in the beginning, people aren't necessarily that good at it, and they just get frustrated chasing balls around the room. And then you could do it right over a bed. So then you don't even have to bend down all the way every single time you drop it, but probably maybe it is good that we're bending down and picking it up from the ground. shout out to, you know,
be good for the brand,
ground culture. Yeah. But yeah. It's just learning how to challenge yourself, or I'll have people, you know, move their hands like Tai Chi towards themselves and then alternate, like have one go. So if we go like this, right. But then I have people go like, oh, what if you did it opposite?
Yeah.
Right. You know, or even like taking their hands, and I know not everyone's watching this on video, but just like bringing it back and forth, kind of your wrist curls, and then doing one twice as fast, right? And then like kind of like, you know, and so just kind of challenging your mind. I think all of those are good, because it forces novelty. Your brain grows through novelty and nutrition, just like your body, right? And so novelty, you give it some kind of resistance, and then you feed it proper nutrition, you give it some rest. Same thing with your mental muscles. So I'm a big fan. Also, because I would get bored, you know, doing the same routine every single time, for me personally. But I also know, even now I'm exploring doing research on these animals and coming up with generalizations around movement and physicality. Like cheetahs could prefer high intensity, fast paced physical activities that align with their energetic and goal oriented nature, right? Maybe they sprint, do hit, they do competitive sports that appeal to them. Their physicality tends to be more in tune with their bodies when it comes to performance and achievement. And I would suppose
they might get more. I wonder, how does a person tap into neuroplasticity within themselves? Like, what's the highest leverage tools or approaches or learning styles to tap into one's neuroplasticity? Because I'd imagine challenge would be the ticket for that.
Novelty.
Novelty and challenge and subtle failures, you know, getting yourself to a place, which failure is a relative word, but walls you can really make it over. And you're like, oh, I didn't think I was going to get over that wall, but I did.
Yeah.
Imagine that would be a pretty primary component in developing.
Yes, because if there's no challenge, I agree. If there's no challenge, then there's no change. If there's no novelty, then you're just, people are just validating what they already know, right? And that's why it's so difficult sometimes for people to hold two opinions simultaneously, you know, about what's going on, you know, in situations or something like that. But if we're not stretching ourselves, then there's, you know, we don't get that neuroplasticity, that kind of response.
Yeah.
And, cause we're just validating what we already know. So we're just reinforcing, and that's not plastic. That's just more reinforcement, right? It's we're just lighting term, up the same neural network.
The term I've heard for it is the zone of proximal development, staying in that zone of proximal development, which essentially is like just nudging, respectfully nudging up against your boundaries. You know, and if you can be in that place where it's not too far, where you're exploding walls, exploding boundaries, and then you're like, oh my God, you're disheveled and, you know, you feel unsafe and cold and alone, but you're just like barely kind of like getting over them.
Yeah. And those are the same access points, to flow states, right? It's flow is where you feel your best, you perform your best, you're in that zone, and everybody has different activities that stimulate that. But it's usually some form of challenge and capabilities, where if the challenge is too great and the capability for you to meet that challenge is too small, then that you're not going to get in flow, because you're going to be stressed out of your mind.
Yeah.
Because the challenge is too great and your ability to meet that challenge, your capability or competence is too low. And if you reverse it, if your challenge is too low and your capability competence is too high, you're not going to get in flow, because you're going to be bored out of your mind.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely the conversation is to redraw the borders and boundaries of what's possible. It's playing and practicing at the more closer to the edge of our limits, where we have to be engaged. We can't mail it in. Yet the difficulty is high enough for us to be able to grow and expand.
Yeah. What about nootropics? I know that you, in the expanded version of the Limitless book, you go, you have a chapter on nootropics. What should we be thinking about with nootropics?
So I haven't talked about it in my career. You know, it's one of the questions we get a lot. So the book is the first time we've actually put down the protocols and the human studies, and we reference everything, trying to make it very easy. Again, I'm not a nutritionist, nor am I a medical doctor, seek your health practitioner. But there's certain basic. We talk about supplements, and then we talk about nootropics. Supplements like creatine, right? So people, it's found in meat, it's found in fish, plays a crucial role in energy metabolism. A lot of people associate it just to physical workouts, but huge benefit to cognitive function, especially in tasks that require short-term memory and quick thinking. So that's kind of a go-to. You know, when in the past episodes, maybe you can link to the show notes where you and I have spoken, I've talked about different foods, because I always prefer people get it personally from food.
Yeah.
But if they're not getting it from it, so I prefer people get it from their meat and their fish. And I, you know, another supplement is curcumin, right? We talked about the food, the turmeric, right? But curcumin, if you're not getting it, it's the active ingredient in turmeric and has anti-inflammatory, antioxidant benefits, could cross potentially the blood-brain barrier, has been shown to improve cognitive function, particularly in patients with Alzheimer's. And I'm very passionate about this because, you know, my grandmother passed, as you know, of Alzheimer's, and we donate a lot of the proceeds of the book to education and brain research. Mushrooms, you know, lion's mane's kind of my go-to for years. Some people call it a nootropic, but it definitely has, the research says it shows that it has neuroprotective effects, potentially stimulate the synthesis of nerve growth factor, which could enhance cognition by reducing inflammation. So it promotes overall just good brain health. Ginkgo biloba, you know, it's a Chinese herb, supportive of blood flow. Some people look at caffeine as obviously a well-known stimulant, but I combine like caffeine with like L-theanine. I do a lot of green tea more than coffee personally. Just I didn't grow up as a coffee drinker, and that's kind of more my go-to. But that combination has been shown to improve reaction time, memory, mental endurance. The choline is good if you're not getting it from eggs. Again, I rather people get their nutrients from food. But you know, the choline in eggs is a nutrient also found in soybeans. Also, it plays a vital role in cognitive health. It's a crucial component of acetylcholine, which is a transmitter that supports memory and you know, overall cognitive function. More supplements. Your omega-3s, your DHAs, if you're not getting it from fish like salmon or sardines, you might want to supplement with that. The DHA is a structural component of the brain, and it plays a key role in memory and overall brain function. You know, the B vitamins, the magnesium, you know, all critical, but the nootropics are things like, I mentioned L-theanine. It's amino acid found in green tea and helps you to be able to promote relaxation without drowsiness. Bacopa. Have you, I'm curious what you have, because you're very sophisticated in this area. Bacopa is an Ayurvedic medicine. It's been used for a long time to improve cognition and memory. Rhodiola is a Scandinavian herb that is also, you know, popular nootropic. It helps reduce mental fatigue, improve cognitive functions.
Is there any nootropic brands or supplements that you align with or you trust that you've like personally felt positive benefit for you without kind of having to pay a price? Not a financial price, a price in the sense of.
I'm not personally associated with any. We've never promoted a supplement in 30 years in that specific brand, even though a lot of our mutual friends have them.
Yeah.
So I have no affiliation or financial interest in any of them.
But is there any ones that you've tried or just like that you feel like you've had a good experience? Like an example, something I've noticed pretty positive impact from is a company called Qualia, which I don't have. I think we've been sponsored before at some point. I probably have some affiliate thing or something, but I don't even know it. I think it's a line. Maybe if somebody wants to try it, but that's an example of something where I first started using, I've used like a lot of different types of nootropics And that was just a kind of like a shotgun approach of nootropic where I like the ingredients on it personally. And I actually received a fact where I'm like, oh, like I get it. Like it was actually a sensation of much improved word recall and just like ease of thoughts. Almost it felt like your neurons are like lubricated in a way. And there's a lot of different types of nootropics that can have that effect. I think the best nootropic is like sauna, cold plunge, sunlight, exercise, relationships.
Yeah.
Like by far, like it's not, there's not even, it's not even competition at all. But if you're doing all of those other things, then I think then it's like, then it makes sense maybe to say like, okay, like what else? And in that realm, then I think there's certain
stuff. And that's what I look at it as. It's kind of the extras, you know, after that whole idea of like meds, RX, M is meditation, E is exercise, D is your diet, S and meds is sleep. And then the R is relationships, you know, community. And then the X are all the extras, you know, that you add on to it. Even my, I know my team is putting up, you know, our supplement regimen in terms of recommendations. We have a site that's launched in this on brainnutrition.com, and people could get resources, you know, and see the studies and everything from there, human studies. The for me, my even in the morning routine, I have this thing. It's interesting. That's like I do it in like 15 minutes is my morning routine, and it's. I read years ago that ancient cultures believed, like Babylonians and ancient Greeks, they believed everything was made up of four elements, right? Air, fire, water, earth. And so when I wake up in the morning after I do kind of like a little prayer and gratitude, I just go outside and get grounded. And, you know, you're again, the expert at this, just makes me feel good anecdotally. Just maybe there's some exchange of electrons and things happening, but I just like touching the ground barefoot. So I get the earth, I get the sunlight, which is so important for your circadian rhythm, for you to sleep better at night, you know, to get direct sunlight first thing in the morning, if it's hazy or foggy.
As well as nitric oxide production, and you know, you produce essentially like it taps into your own opiate system in your body. Like it, you release these beta endorphins that make you feel good.
I feel good immediately. And I feel good just even thinking about doing this. Like
for sure. So that's because that's who you are, man. You're like, you are the elements. You're the ground. You're the sun. Yeah.
You know, we're going to get my water in because we could lose upwards of a pound of water through rest and while we sleep, through respiration and perspiration. You're a big guy, so maybe you're losing 2 pounds of water. But, you know, get my water in.
The gorilla complex, though, offsets the size. It's the whole thing.
But then I just add something to it, like some salts or some electrolytes or whatever. First thing in the morning. So that's my water. So I have earth, the sun is fire. You know, I down my water, my electrolytes, that's water. And then I do my breathing. Just like what we did right before. Maybe it's whether it's Wim Hof breathing or fire breathing or box breathing, or, you know, you do it, you know it. And then I'm like set. I'll take that. I'll get my 11 minutes of cold in a week, you know, which is just a couple minute plunge or shower, you know, do a sauna 3 times a week, for 20 minutes or so, but really, you know, hot. I like it hot because my body is very heat adapted after doing it so long. But yeah, all that stuff is mostly, all the elements are definitely free. At nighttime, I'll do the elements too. Like I'll do my yoga nidra, help me calm my system. I'll take a warm bath. You know, so that's my water, that's my air. But I see a lot of the biohacking stuff is, it's great, you know, and it's fancy, but it's all mimic nature, right?
Yeah.
The PMF mats for the grounding and the,
you know. It's a concentrated, in some contexts, it is like a concentrated form of nature, such as the PMF or maybe like cold laser. And you're taking specific frequencies of light and you're bringing them together, you know, and concentrating them times 1,000x what you would be getting from, you know, just maybe taking a walk in that specific frequency that has specific effects. So I think there can be definitely very sincere benefits and effects of like modulating nature in a way, in the form of different devices and gadgets and, you know, like frequency based tools. But yeah, ultimately it's like reconfiguring nature. And typically it's in a you know, a less recognizable form to your biology. You know, so it's like a supplement compared to eating a whole food. There's like, I think there's something there.
Yeah, there are cofactors being like, something definitely there that
I get this. I understand this. Yeah. Like, so comparing a cold laser to just spending time in the sun, I think there is something about like that analog quality of actually being exposed to nature, or the analog quality of like actually listening to an orchestra and like going to a concert compared to listening to a digital version of it. Like, there is a felt, tangible change in that, which is a little bit harder to kind of extrapolate in a, like an actual like data-driven explanation.
That resonates with me. Besides the fact that, you know, some of the other stuff could have, the modern technologies also are powered by electricity and there's EMFs. I mean, certainly I would rather than supplement with whatever's in a blueberry, I'd rather just eat the blueberries. And, but I feel you.
All right. Well, we got to wrap up.
I appreciate it. We got to continue the
conversation. I feel like this is.
We'll do another episode. We'll do it again, and then when we're together, then I'd love to interview you and talk about all that stuff. Something to look forward to. I was looking forward to this conversation just to, you know, reconnect with you.
Yeah, for sure. Likewise, it's always fun. Well, so you have the Limitless, the expanded version. So people didn't already get the Limitless book before. This is the expanded version, which gets into nootropics, gets into utilizing
AI to improve your HI, your human intelligence. We talk about learning agility in the workplace. We talk about so much more on top of just the original gold that was in the first edition. But people could go to limitlessbook.com, and when they go there, we give them just bonus gifts in terms of brain training, speed reading, memory enhancements. So that way, when the book comes, they're already kind of got the basics of speed reading, memory, focus, so they could help them to go through the book. We're donating the proceeds to charity, so I appreciate the support on the book. Yeah. And then the quiz again is mybrainanimal.com. And I would love for people to take the quiz, and then you get this art, kind of original art where you of your animal, and you could post it online and tag Aaron, tag myself, so we get to see it, and I'll just kind of repost some of my favorites and all that good stuff, because I'm
sure you get a bunch of insecure gorillas tagging Aaron. you bastards.
And then on YouTube or our podcast, just search Jim Quick for just our weekly and our daily content that we put out. But Aaron, buddy, I really appreciate you so much.
Appreciate you, man. All right, that's it. That's all. Thank you all for tuning in. I'll see you next week. Bye. Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. If you did, you can tag me at Aaron Alexander on the Instagram. You can also tag Jim Quick with a specific part, or maybe just a screenshot of the episode, but ideally a specific part of the episode that you enjoyed. I really enjoy that because I get to see what you guys like, and it just makes it more shareable on my end. That's it. That's all. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Thanks for reviews. Thanks for subscribing. I'll see you next week.